Good to see everybody tonight, and glad to again gather to worship God with you in spirit and truth. The lesson tonight is entitled, Beauty is in the Eye of the Creator. I believe it's a timely subject considering our present world that we live in today. The premium we place on beauty and good looks, the slang terms that are used today, like sexy or hot, those kinds of terms that are thrown around in the schools all the time, and even in our workplaces as well. I think it is mainly and primarily a peer pressure for women. Not to say that men are excluded. Men also wish to be good looking and handsome. But the majority of the pressure does not fall upon them, but upon the woman. Just look at the marketing. Look at the commercials. Look at the pictures that surround our world. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 31, you see that God knows the concept of beauty, and three times He uses the word here in the description given of Egypt and Assyria and these various nations by which He was able to bless many people. And in Ezekiel 31, verse 7, He says, "Thus it was beautiful in greatness." God knows how to make something beautiful in greatness. At the end of verse 8, He says, "No tree in the garden of God was like it in beauty." Verse 9, "I made it beautiful with a multitude of branches so that all the trees of Eden envied it that were in the garden of God." God is the author of true, genuine beauty. But there is a peer pressure from this world that we live in, the schools that we attend, from society, wherever it may be found in our lives. And it can, if we're not careful and we're not watchful, become internalized into a woman's heart or a man's heart. Become something that they think about way too much. Now this lesson won't change many worldly women's hearts because their heart is in the world where beauty is in the eye of the beholder. It's usually their own eyes. One may even be beautiful in the eyes of the world, but if they don't see it in themselves, then they're not. And that's why there's some that will call themselves fat when they're actually skinny. They may be beautiful, but they see the freckles, they see the moles, they see the stretch marks that nobody else can see. So this lesson might not help them too much because they have the wrong standard. But this lesson is about beauty in the eyes of the Creator. This will help a godly woman or man that may be struggling with such depressing thoughts to refocus and remember what true beauty really is. And as long as you're beautiful in this way, then you are beautiful to the one who made you. Now to help a worldly woman, she must first give her life, give her heart to God, for her to be able to tell God, "Tell me what my life should be like." And she's to become a Christian and serve God. And then this lesson certainly would help someone like that, because now they have the right focus. But if you are uncommitted to God, you will continue to struggle with self-esteem issues, feeling less than, feeling unattractive, feeling that others in your life are all more beautiful than you. And they're not even Christians, because you have the wrong standard. This is what the world puts before us as a standard for what's beautiful from all the pictures that surround us. This is what we would say when we think about a beautiful woman or a beautiful person. Then this is a picture that would be before us on the screen or in our minds. I remember not too long ago watching an old Twilight Zone with my children, but you know, the 1950s ones, the black and white ones. And there was the episode that had this woman whose face was wrapped in gauze. And the doctors, the nurses had done some particular surgeries on her because she was an ugly person and they were trying to make her beautiful. And they hoped that this surgery would have been effective. And so at the end, they unwrap her and they all gasp, "Ah, she's so horrid, she's so ugly," and it's a beautiful woman right there. And then all of a sudden, the camera goes into focus on the doctors and nurses and all of them are disfigured. And it pans to the rest of the world, and they're all disfigured as well. And the woman who was beautiful cried, "Why am I so ugly? Why was I made this way?" And it did a beautiful job of showing the absurdity of allowing the world to determine for us what true beauty is. What I want us to do tonight, as what we do in other subjects, is to recognize, while the world may have a certain definition, God has a definition, and God's definition should always trump the definition of the world. Just like love, right? Most of the world has a definition that is all wrong about that word. They would call lust love, premarital sex love, just good feelings. It could be a homosexual relationship, a bisexual love. They just say, "Oh, it's love," all these terms, and yet they're all wrong. It's what God defines as love, right? 2 John 6, that you walk according to His commandments. This is love. It's sacrificing yourself for another. John 15, 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down His life for His friends. It's 1 Corinthians 13. That's love that defines it over and over again in that great chapter. And this way we know what true love is in the eye of the Creator. And so that's what we're going to do with beauty as well. Are you beautiful? Are you beautiful in the eye of the Creator? So let's find out tonight. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. As God's Word describes the ideal wife, the virtuous wife, He ends in Proverbs 31, verse 29, "Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." And so the first point tonight is that one is beautiful in the eyes of the Creator is one that fears the Lord. He says the outside's passing. It's all passing. Many choose natural, unnatural ways to put off the passing, and yet it's still going to be passing for them because you can't stop it. The aging process, it comes. It comes to all. In the book right next to Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, he even describes in very colorful language, figurative language, these details to describe the aging of the body. In Ecclesiastes 12:1, he says, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.' While the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are not darkened and the clouds do not return after the rain." So he begins to talk about the aging of the body where you know, the eyes are never quite right adjusted to what is taking place in the surrounding world, the sun, the light, the moon, and the stars. Verse 3, "In the day in which the keepers of the house tremble," and so you notice the older individuals, their hands tremble more uncontrollably. "The strong men bow down," and so it describes more of the hunched over position of an aged person. "The grinders cease, they lose teeth because they are few. And those that look through the windows grow dim." The loss of eyesight, the ability to be able to see far. Goes on to say, "When the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of the grinding is low, so the ear, the hearing is muffled. It doesn't hear as good as it used to. When one rises up at the sound of a bird," and so they wake up very easily. They don't sleep very well at night. "And the daughters of music are brought low." Everything kind of loses its joy. "They're also afraid of heights and the terrors of the way, because it's a lot easier for an elderly person to fall down. And when they do, it often can be more catastrophic. The almond tree blossoms," that is the changing of the hair color. "The grasshopper is a burden." So this is the smallest of things that we used to never even think twice about. All of a sudden becomes more difficult. "The grasshopper is a burden. And desire fails. The physical appetite, sexual appetite, all these things fade away. And man goes to his eternal home. And the mourners go about the streets." And so he says, this happens. It's a reality for those that are blessed with long life. So, verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. "Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is man's all." That's where you need to put your focus in fearing the Lord. One who fears the Lord is one that is beautiful in the eyes of the Creator. Have you ever seen someone with a facelift? You probably have. There's some adjustment for some cosmetic purpose that has taken place on their face. And I'm not saying that's wrong or sinful. There's no law being transgressed per se. But what I'm saying is that you can usually tell that something has been adjusted. I'll never forget a girl in high school that I was friends with, and she was a beautiful girl in my opinion. But after we graduated, we didn't see each other for a number of years until in college, one day we crossed paths, and I was shocked. She went under the knife, and her face looked very, very different. Now, somehow, in some way in her mind, she felt she needed a change in the cheekbones and in her nose. And to me, I felt like, wow, it was just so different, you know. I wouldn't have called it an improvement. And I'm trying not to be mean, but her nose was extremely pointy. It just didn't look natural anymore. Now, I'm not saying there's never a place for some kind of surgeries like this. Some people are burned and disfigured and they undergo some kind of cosmetic surgery. Some have scars or cancer tumors removed, and so they need some plastic surgery. Some older folks have trouble seeing unless they have their eyelids lifted. Some people have been in an accident or had some particular surgery that needs to be done to bring their body back to a normal standing. So we're not talking about these. We're not trying to paint too wide of a brush. But we're talking about a world that tells us that we don't measure up unless you can change some things about your appearance. And so if you can afford it, you should do it. And I'm here to tell you it's vanity. It's grasping for the wind. God's word says you don't have to worry about all that. You're beautiful if you fear me. If you love me. If you serve me. If you put me first. You are to be praised. He says in Psalm 31:30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But the woman who fears the Lord, she is to be praised. The woman that fears the Lord. In Psalm 19, we looked at this the other week, and I don't want to spend too long on it, but here you'll notice that there was six different descriptive terms given for the Word of God. Verse 7, the law of the Lord. The testimony of the Lord. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord. The commandment of the Lord. Then notice verse 9, it describes as the fear of the Lord. You ever thought of the word described as that way? The fear? The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The fear of the Lord. Why describe the word that way? Because it shows one who opens this book and lives by this book is one who reverences and honors and cares about what God cares about on every subject. That's a person that truly is beautiful in the eyes of the Creator. That's one who is working in the fear of the Lord. So do you and I fear the Lord? Do you think about what He thinks about? We can't be sidetracked and derailed to put a premium on that which is passing away. We can't be consumed with our looks and our wrinkles and our aging. Now, I'm not saying women shouldn't wear makeup. Please don't think I'm saying that. Don't think that I'm saying that a woman shouldn't care or seek to try to be presentable and attractive. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we shouldn't obsess and shouldn't put our focus on it. Because you and I can't stop the hands of time. But fear the Lord, and you'll be beautiful all the time in the eyes of the Creator. Well, further, beauty is in the eye of the Creator. It is speaking of one who uses kind words to others. In 1 Peter chapter 3, notice what Peter says here in verses 3 and 4. He says, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward." So again, Peter's saying what I'm saying. It's not that he's saying it can't be outward at all. Don't let it merely be that. Where should my focus be? Well, he says, not on arranging of the hair or wearing gold or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart. With the incorruptible beauty, listen to this, the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Remember, that's the one that we're shooting for. That's the one that we're looking to define our beauty for us. What's precious in the eyes of God? This right here. This one that has this gentle and quiet spirit. Here is beauty that never decays. Now, gentle is also translated. That Greek word is translated meek and humble. Quiet describes her character in action, her reaction to her husband in the immediate context, or people in life that she meets. She is not loud. She's not boastful, not a show-off. She's not trying to get all the attention of the world to acknowledge her beauty. Rather, she's an entirely different spirit. She is known by her kindness, her meekness, her humility. You know, there's one, and I'm sure you've met them in the world as well as I have, that are cold. They're cold. They almost have this air of superiority. They feel better than others, and they stay aloof. And sometimes if they're going to respond to something, they're snappy or sarcastic, as if it's beneath them to even entertain such things. You don't really feel like being around those kinds of people. They don't have an attractive spirit. Some of those mean girls at school have that kind of attitude. Better than others. Very likely they got that from their own mother, and she has trained her in that way. You know, the Bible says that knowledge puffs up, but beauty does the same thing as well. They get a lot of looks, and it makes them think, hey, I must be something. That's prideful. God says, here's where I see beauty right here. This is precious in my sight. Not the outward adornment, but the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. This is the woman who says helpful and kind things. Words of compassion are on her tongue. That beautiful woman in Psalm 31, the one that God said is greatly to be praised. Turn over there again real quickly and notice what he describes her mouth as like. In Psalm 31, there verse 26, it says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She made a law for herself. When I open my mouth, I'm going to use it for kindness. That's a restrictive law. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to focus on trying to be kind with the words that I say. And God says this woman's greatly to be praised. To think about what you're going to say before you say it. Wisdom is in her mouth. In Proverbs chapter 3, notice how God speaks about the great blessing of wisdom and how it is such a helpful tool to those around us in our lives that it naturally draws them to us. They're attracted to us with that spirit, knowing that they're going to be blessed to hear the things that we may have to say. And Proverbs 3:13 says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies and all the things that you may desire. Listen to that. All the things you may desire, even outward beauty. All those things that you may desire, he says, cannot compare with her. So beauty, wisdom, I should say, is the cream of the crop. Verse 18 says, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. This is a beautiful woman in the eyes of God, a beautiful man in the eyes of God, one who speaks kind words to others, reveals that spirit within. But further, Beauty in the eyes of the Creator, it's one who displays the inside over the outside. Remember there in 1 Samuel chapter 16, as God wanted to elect a new king, and Samuel came to the house of Jesse, and there he looked at all the sons of Jesse, and what did he do? He picked out the best looking one. That's the next king. It's as if God says, didn't we make that mistake the first time, right? That's what Saul was. Now, God didn't make a mistake. Don't misunderstand me. There was purpose behind that. But God says, with David, we're going to show the opposite. Now, David wasn't an ugly person by any means, but he says this in verse 7. The Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so with that, they choose David. God looks at the heart. But he recognizes that man looks at the outward appearance, but man, God does not see as man sees. That's what we're trying to do, see things as God sees them. Now back there in 1 Peter 3, we'll look at that verse one more time. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 4, he says plainly, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel, but rather let it be the hidden, notice, the hidden person of the what? Of the heart. Let it be that. So what is he talking about? He's talking about showing the inside over the outside. That's what I look at, God says. So bring that out. Let it be the hidden person of the heart. Again, we're not saying that we should be unkept or try to be unattractive. That certainly would reveal actually a messy heart as well. There's some wrong things going on within if that's our attitude. Because what is inside always comes to the outside. And that's why I express sorrow and concern, especially when you see young girls in a very gothic kind of style, very dark and shadowy, and because you know that there's darkness then within. It's coming out to the surface. Or when individuals dress immodestly, that means that we're immodest in the heart, within. When we reveal our bodies with revealing clothing, whether it's the chest or the back or the legs, the thighs, we must lack modesty within the heart if we're okay to display our inside to the outside world. God says, I want you to not be overly concentrated on the outward, but on the inward, the hidden person within. And 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, notice what he commands Timothy to teach the women in verse 9 and 10. He says, I, in like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness. So he's talking about your outward, showing what you really are on the outside. Your inward, we're showing what you are on the outside as well, and vice versa, that it's proper for women who profess godliness to be dressed in a certain way. And primarily with the dress of good works. Notice that? Which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. You know, Scripture doesn't tell us what Dorcas looked like, but it tells us what she did. Scripture doesn't tell us what Peter looked like, but it tells us what he did. We don't know how Aquila and Priscilla looked, but we know what they did. And I assure you, that's what people will remember about you and remember about me way more than our looks. Your physical beauty. Because good works remain, whereas beauty does not. The way a person spoke to you, the way a person treated you, cared for you, is stored in the memory more than the looks. God says, I'll tell you what is precious. It's when the hidden person of the heart is on the outside, showing that you care more about what God cares about, your Creator thinks about, than some other man or some other woman. That is true beauty, God says. True beauty. But when our body, that God would have us to conceal begins to come out to the surface, it shows that, and shows God, that will allow the world to influence us as to what is beautiful more than Him. And you know what? What takes place is that women will go down that road and they find themselves falling into a trap. Because someone else will always have a better outside than you, a better shape than you, a better form than you. And you'll feel down. You'll feel less than. You'll feel depressed. So you go to the fridge and open up the Bluebell, and that just makes it all worse. Where did all that begin? When you stopped looking to be beautiful in the eyes of the Creator and tried to keep up with the Joneses of the world and their definition of beauty. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul went through many afflictions. I am sure his body was quite disfigured to a degree. You think about all the beatings he had, the stonings he had, beaten with rods, beaten with whips. He says this in verse 16, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. We don't lose heart when we get the extra wrinkles or get the gray hair. We might call that our affliction, right? It's kind of almost silly to compare it to Paul's. But if the inward person is being renewed day by day, then life is great. It is a blessing. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, this is a good verse to remember along these lines. In verse 11, you understand, God created every various phase of life to have its particular subset of things that can only be experienced in that particular phase. So whatever phase you find yourself in, look for that gem, that beauty that God has created at that particular stage of life that can't be found in other stages. And he says this way in Ecclesiastes 3:11, He has made everything beautiful in its time. Everything beautiful in its time. And he's also put eternity in their hearts. See, God has put that in our hearts. Whether young, middle, or old, we can find beauty in whatever phase that we find in, especially if we're prepared for eternity with the Lord. That's where we're going. That's where we'll worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, as we've been studying about heaven for so many weeks. He's made everything beautiful in His time. Last for tonight, beauty in the eyes of the Creator. Why, it's one who lives like Jesus did. If I understand Isaiah 53 and verse 2 correctly, Jesus didn't have the best physical looks. The Bible describes Him as no form or comeliness by which we should desire Him. I think that's speaking about His outward appearance. And yet there was no one more perfect than Jesus. No one more beautiful than Jesus. You know, in the same book, in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, it says that they would call Him Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Those are terms of beauty and honor. To God, he was most precious. The Bible even tells us in 1 Peter 1, verse 19, that we're redeemed not by silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. God sees the person different, doesn't he? Different than from the outside. So I ask you, is the Spirit of Christ in you? In Romans chapter 8, you see that's exactly what Paul's asking the brethren there. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 9, he says, "But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." Now, if anyone does not have, listen to this, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. I ask again, do you have the Spirit of Christ? If you don't, you are not his. He goes on to say, verse 10, "And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." What he's talking about here is someone that is controlled by Christ's Spirit. They are a Christian, but they remain a faithful Christian. They are dedicated to God. In that sense, they have the Spirit of Christ in them. "The life that I now live in the flesh," as Paul said, "I live by faith in the Son of God." So there's life in that person. There's beauty in that person. There's a natural attraction to that person because of who they become in Christ Jesus. Whereas outside of Christ Jesus, then it is about the flesh. It is about the body. It is about the world and what it tells us is beauty and what is good and what is right. And he says, in that, there's just deadness. There's just deadness. But if Christ is in you, right? Who God raised from the dead, and we're raised from the dead when we are buried in water, raised to walk in newness of life with Him, becoming a Christian, then we live an entirely different way. With an entirely different outlook. With an entirely different value system. It's God's. And not the world's. And that if Christ, think about this, Christ reflected the Father so that He could say, if you have seen Me, you have seen the Father. And so too are we to reflect Christ. Again, think about that. Jesus said, to see Me was to see the Father. And yet Isaiah 53 says He was not such a good looking man physically. Wait a second, isn't God beautiful? Yes! And we studied heaven in its true beauty. God is all beauty. And God is reflected in Jesus Christ. How? Not by the flesh, but by the Spirit. By the actions of Jesus and the life of Jesus and the attitude of Jesus, by the character of Jesus. And He says, if you've seen Me, you've seen God. The true beauty of God. And so therefore, when we reflect the Lord Jesus, we radiate true beauty. A beauty only paralleled in the unseen realm. A heavenly beauty. Regardless of how we look on the outside, we reveal true beauty. Would you take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 1? James chapter 1. This will be the final passage of the night. It's interesting that the Bible actually does have a verse that talks about a man looking in a mirror, seeing his reflection in the mirror. James 1 and verse 23 says, "If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now James, speaking of looking in a mirror, he's not giving beauty tips. Well, actually he was, right? Just the beauty that God looks at. He says, the mirror that God uses is His Word. And when a man looks into that Word, he sees himself as God sees himself. So how does God see you? Now what are you going to do with that reflection? Will you forget about it? Will you begin to make the fixes? Clean up the things you can clean up? Because if we do, then we can be the most beautiful person in the eyes of the Creator. Don't forget what you look like in the mirror of God's Word. Fix what He's asked you to fix. Have the right focus that He's asked you to have. Seek to be beautiful in the eyes of the Creator. And God can say to us, you are altogether beautiful, my darling. There is no flaw in you. Song of Solomon 4 and verse 7. Men and women, I stand here not to tell you and your family to stop brushing your hair. Nor do I stand here saying we should not compliment the physical beauty that God has given individuals. Wives need to hear it. Daughters need to hear it. And it may surprise you that even sons need to hear it as well. But here's what I do stand here to tell you. That if we do those things to the neglect of true biblical beauty, we will fail our families and we will fail our God. For charm is passing and beauty is fleeting. But a woman or a man who fears the Lord shall be praised. Work on that. Focus on that. Make that our all. And then every single one of us, without exception, can be a 10 out of 10. Beautiful. A work of art to our God. You know, Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that's the way God's grace works. Takes us where we're at and begins to reform us, to remake us, to reshape us in His image. God says, let me give birth to you again, born of water and the Spirit. Let me wash away the old, disgusting, dirty, filthy, evil, vile person and create in you a new spirit, a new heart that seeks to please not the world, but me. If you're not a child of God, you can have that heart tonight by coming, confessing your faith in Christ and repenting of your sins, being baptized to have your sins washed away and being made new in the eyes of your Creator. If you're a child of God and you've fallen away, you've forgotten what true beauty is, maybe you've lost focus and put it too much on the temporary and the worldly, God calls you through His Word all the same and says, come back to me. I love you just the way you are. Put me first. I love you. I'll save you. I'll forgive you. And your beauty will only increase with God. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing? The great now is here, the city.